Okay, well, for the next hour and a half, we'll be talking about... I know. Just kidding, it's going to be 2 hours. Father, we just thank you for the way you show up, you minister, you create. Father, an atmosphere of expectation, of release. You convict, you convince. But Father, you don't leave us there. You transform us. And Father, you also say that you sent your word to heal us, to restore us. Father, I pray that your word will bring healing and restoration to all of us in all the areas of our being. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. As you know, the sacrifice of Jesus on Calvary, but not just the sacrifice on Calvary, but the fact that he rose from the dead in his glorious resurrection proved that his work for mankind was completed. Redemption for mankind was purchased by the resurrected Lord, and he spent 40 days after his resurrection showing himself up among many brethren, some as gathered together as many as 500 at one time. And so he demonstrated that he conquered death, hell, and the grave and purchased salvation for all of mankind. And then he bestowed upon us as his church so many good things. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, Peter is saying, as his divine power has given to us all things. Notice the tense of that verse. He has already given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. So all that we need, past, present, and future, Jesus has already accomplished and furnished for us. Now it's up to us to receive what he has already given to us. And he not only purchased the redemption of our spirits, but he purchased everything about us that was needed to be purchased back. As you know, we are made in the image of God, and we are, according to the word, we are made up of three components. In fact, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, Paul was given a blessing, a salutation, well, not a salutation, but a benediction, if you would call it, to the Thessalonians. And in chapter 5, verse 23, he says, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So man is made up of spirit, soul, and body. You know, it's interesting that there is a Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We were made in the image of God, and we are a triune being as well. We have components of what we are, and we need all three to function well and be in good shape for us to function completely and properly. Yeah. Every aspect of those three components of human beings were covered by the sacrifice of Jesus. In Isaiah chapter 53, the chapter that prophesied about the work of Jesus, it says in verse 5, but he, Jesus, was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Transgressions talk about our rebellion against God. Iniquities referred to the sin that we commit because of our rebellion. When he talks about peace, he talks about the fruit that is mostly manifested in the soul. Be at peace, my soul. I mean, things in the natural can be chaotic, and yet our soul is at peace. Of course, as our spirits are, if we are saved, we are at peace, and yet our souls can be wacky sometimes. So the Prince of Peace came and brought us peace. The angels came and said, peace on earth. And then healing talks about restoration of health to members of our physical body. So we have there addressing our sin problem in our spirit, then our issues of the soul, and then our physical bodies. In Isaiah 61 that we have read quite often lately, it talks about Isaiah 61:1. It says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me. And this was Jesus, again, a prophetic word that Jesus read later on and said, this day this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. But the Spirit of the Lord was upon him, and he was anointed, and then it says, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. And of course, all of this is done so that the Lord may receive glory. Amen. Beauty for ashes speak of self-esteem. Many of us don't think very highly of ourselves. And that's part of the soulish realm. And God came to take away those ashes and instead place beauty and self-esteem and God esteem of who you are made in Christ Jesus. And so it talks about joy, talks about mourning, talks about heaviness, talks about praise are mainly expressed through our souls. And so Christ came to give us refreshing of our soul, renewing of the spirit, amen, and then healing of our bodies. In the Old Covenant, there were several ways that God ordained to heal the physical body. We're going to concentrate today on the physical body, the healing that Jesus purchased. So even in the Old Testament, the healing of the physical body was a blessing that God would bestow upon his people. And in Genesis chapter 20, somewhere at verse 17 and 18, we see Abraham praying for King Abimelech and for the king's household for healing. Of course, if you know the situation, you know, Abram wasn't very faithful. He was a little fearful and thought that because his wife was beautiful, somebody was going to kill him to get his wife. And so he said, she's my sister, not my wife. And Abimelech, you know, Sarah was up in age, and she was just so gorgeous that the king wanted to marry her. And he took her in, and his whole household got sick. They couldn't deliver. They couldn't get fertile in their wombs. And finally, Abimelech confronts Abram, and Abram said, well, I was scared, you know. And so God instructs Abram, pray for Abimelech and his household. Apparently, there were more issues than just the pregnancy on the household. There were some other issues. And so it says that Abraham prayed and healing was imputed unto King Abimelech and his whole household. So even in the Old Testament, we see prayer for healing. And some people today are so hesitant to do it for whatever reason, and we'll talk about some of those later on. We see in Genesis chapter 30 that Rachel, the wife of Jacob, she was, something was wrong with her reproductive system that she could not have babies. And nobody prayed for her, but she went to the temple and she believed that God was a God of miracles and a healing God. And she asked God, touch my womb and restore so I can be fertile again. And, or not again, but for once. And so Rachel prayed and asked for healing of her womb, and God answered her out of her faith and trust in the Lord. We see also in 2 Kings chapter 5 where the prophet Elijah healed Naaman, the Syrian soldier, of leprosy. And we see there the manifestation through the prophet of the gift of healing, even in the Old Testament. And then we also have heard of in Numbers chapter 21 that the children of Israel in the desert were rebellious and they were murmuring, and God sent some snakes and they were biting people and a lot of people were dying. And God instructed Moses to get a pole and fashion a snake out of bronze and put it up representing the crucified Lord, and whoever would look at that snake would be healed, and they would not die of the biting of the snakes and their poison. So they were delivered by faith. So we see a lot of some of the gifts that we talk about today, they have been in action, and God has been releasing healing to the bodies through several of these gifts throughout the Old and New Testament. In Exodus chapter 15, verse 26, the Lord was speaking to his people. And in verse 26 says, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, and you give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. So God is giving a promise to the children of Israel. There are some conditions for those promises. We need to try to do right, do our best, trust the Lord, have faith in his promises. But then he declares, I am the Lord who heals you. You know, in 1 John 4:16, it says that God is love. And you say, yeah, God is love. Well, that has two connotations. That means, first of all, that God has the ability to love, and he loves us in a way that we cannot even comprehend. He loves us with an incredible love. But also he's saying he is love. So he's not only describe what he does, but who he is. And so here, when he says, I am the Lord who heals you, he's saying, not only do I heal you, I am your healer. Amen. This is who I am. So healing flows out of me because of who I am. Not just the fact that I do it, I am health and healing. We know that, well, we may not all know, but one of the reasons for sickness, and the main one, is sin. The main reason for sickness is sin, and the author of sin is the devil himself. And because the nature of man was changed into a sinful one, then sin became our natural state. We were sinful people. We had a nature that became sinful on its own. We were not just committing sins, we were a sinful people. And given an opportunity, sinful people do what is natural to that condition, which is sinning. And sickness was one of the consequences of our sinful state. But when we were born again, our spirit was made alive and righteous, but our soul and our body, they were not made righteous immediately. In fact, we're called in the Word in the New Testament, we are to renew our souls, our minds, emotions, and intellect by the Word, as found in Romans 12:2. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may know what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So he's given us his word for us to renew this mind that wants to do what it used to do before it was, the spirit was reborn. And so we learn habits and we tend to do them until we break those. And so we can break our mindsets through the word, through the power of the word working in our spirit through the Holy Spirit. And then still our bodies, you know, we have a problem with our bodies. I mean, we can exercise some control over our bodies, you know. But it still has a carnal nature within. And that nature will only be eliminated when Jesus comes back and we get a new glorified body. In other words, this body doesn't have redemption. We're going to get new ones. Hallelujah. And I'm going to get my body with hair where it properly should be. And proper vision and proper hearing and proper breathing and voice. And I can sing and I will be able to praise the Lord forever. Hallelujah. Amen. We're prone to get sick for various reasons. We talked about sin. Sinful behavior can manifest in our lives in many different ways. We can abuse our bodies through addictions, through neglect. We can overexert our bodies. We can have terrible eating habits, not just in quantity, but in quality. Etc., etc., so you get the idea. Another sinful thing that we can do is hold anger and bitterness and unforgiveness and those things that the soul delights on against others that is not godly. Those areas affects our soul and causes our body to get diseases and sickness and symptoms that are not normal or godly, let's put it that way. God did not intend for the body to go through this, and yet sin produces those kind of things. We also live in a world that is sick. I mean, it's just, the world is sick, you know, and I mean it in the full extent of that word. And so, you know, we are in this world even though we're not of it. And you know, you step on mud, you're going to get muddy. You know, you're not made out of mud, but you will get muddy when you step on mud. That's just the fact that we live in this world, and we will be affected by the contact with a sinful environment. And so our bodies can get sick out of those, not necessarily because we're sinful, but just because we're human living in a sick, sinful environment. And then there's also accidents. You know, we go through accidents. We bump our knees and our toes and it bleeds. And if we don't watch it, we get infected or, you know, we get radiation. in the dentist, and later on we get, you know, some cells that want to rebel against their normal behavior, and then cancer pops up, and this, that, and the other. And you stay too close to the microwave, and they say that you can get fried inside, and then you get all kind of abnormalities, and, you know, you can think of these things and go crazy and get rid of all your appliances. Don't worry. Just do what is right and proper and prudent, and don't be concerned. Just walk in faith. But accidents, you know, because we live in a fallen world, we suffer some of the consequences. You know, the innocent pay for the guilty as well. And you've seen that throughout all the aspects of life. And so there's many ways for us to get sick. However, God has left us with many ways to receive healing for our bodies, our natural bodies. First of all, I want to thank God for doctors and medicine. My hat's out for you guys who spend 4 or 5 years studying how the body works and what kind of medicines do right or wrong for different things. And so many times we're just faithless. And we need some relief right now. And so we go to see the doctor and we spend 2 or 3 hours waiting and going through whatever. And yet we say we don't have time to pray. But that's another subject. And so thank God for doctors and medicine that they work through the natural world and bring healing through natural processes. Of course, knowledge of sickness and natural processes to help the body heal itself the way it's supposed to, that's part of what human beings are made up. You know, God designed this body to increase the healing process within itself. And so, you know, I'm always scratching myself and wounding my hands and my feet, and sometimes I use band-aids just not to get more injured or get blood all over my workplace or whatever. And yet, I don't like to use band-aids because it just doesn't work as effective as the natural band-aid that God gave us by the body's cavity itself and injuries and protecting the inside of my body through that natural band-aid. I have found out that you put a band-aid and 2 days later you take it off and everything looks kind of, you know, if the healing doesn't take off from the inside out, usually doesn't do a good job. The band-aid doesn't do a good job of healing on the outside in. So I trust the design of the Lord's body, the way the Lord intended for the body to work. And sometimes I you know, it may look ugly, and I protect it for a day until God's natural band-aids work, the scabs, and they do much better. So doctors of medicine, knowledge of natural processes to help the body heal itself. But then we have divine intervention through various promises in Scripture and several ways of receiving healing have been given to us in the new covenant. And I want to mention a few of those. The first one is the laying on of hands by believers. In Mark chapter 16, verse 17, Jesus was commissioning his disciples after his resurrection, and he was giving instructions to follow through. And in verse 17 of Mark 16, he says, "And these signs will follow those who believe." Now, that is a broad statement. And so it's not saying you have to be a pastor, a prophet, an evangelist, an apostle, or a teacher. You don't have to be part of the fivefold ministry. You don't even have to be a deacon or an elder. He says, these signs will follow those who believe. Obviously, believe in Jesus, have him in their hearts. And it says a few items here. It says, in my name, they will cast out demons. Boy, that's, you say, boy, he started with that one. Well, yeah. To let you know that when God raised Jesus from the dead, he sat him at the right hand of the Father, meaning the place of authority. And then he says that Jesus took us, and when he rose from the dead, we rose with him. And we are seated with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And he says that we're far above principality and power and dominion and every name than his name, both in this world and in the world to come. We are above all of the power of the enemy. And we're above all of them. That means even if you are the pinky of your foot, the lowest in the lowest part of the body of Christ, you still have all kinds of authority. Amen. So don't feel left out just because you don't have a title of a pastor or apostle or whatever. You're just as powerful. Amen. In Jesus, of course. So you have the ability, if you believe in Jesus Christ, you have authority to cast out demons. And then it continues on, they will speak with new tongues. That's a privilege you all have if you are in Christ. They will take up serpents. And of course, you know, people take this literally. I think he's talking about demonic stuff. Doesn't mean that you have to handle snakes out there. And he said, if they drink any deadly thing, it will by no means hurt them. Obviously, that is not talking about intentional poisoning yourself. But, you know, we live in a fallen world and we're liable to drink something that is poisonous by accident. And so you trust in the Lord, you believe. If you're a believer, the sign that you will not get sick out of this poison swallowing, because you are a believer, you're showing this sign. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Every one of us who have made Jesus Lord of our lives have the authority to lay hands on the sick. Now, it says they will recover. Talk about that in a little bit. So, laying hands. That is a promise of healing for every believer. In Acts chapter 28, verse 8, this is Paul going on a trip, and he stopped in the island of Malta, and Paul and the rest of the crew shipwrecked, and so they help him out. A group of people helped him out and showed kindness to them. And in verse 8 it says, and it happened that the father of Publius was one that showed kindness towards Paul and the whole crew. And so his father was sick with a fever and dysentery. Paul went into him and prayed, and he laid his hands on him and healed him. So this is a privilege that every believer has for healing of our bodies. We can lay hands on anyone else that requests, that needs healing, believing in God, because we are believers, and so we can act on this promise and see healing come to their bodies. And he says also that, you know, when he healed Pluvius' dad, the rest of the guys in the group, the natives, they saw that and say, oh, I want some of that too. And so verse 9 says, so when this was done, the rest of those on the island who had diseases also came and were healed. So Paul was probably laying hands on everyone for quite a while. The island wasn't that big, but I'm sure that the tribe was kind of large in number. So laying on of hands is one way that the Lord has given his body, believers, to get rid of sickness and disease in our bodies. Secondly, the scripture talks about anointing with oil by the elders or even by other believers. In Mark chapter 6, Jesus sent his disciples 2 by 2, and they were supposed to represent Jesus wherever they went. And in verse 12 of Mark 6 says, so they went out and preached that people should repent. And they cast out many demons. They believed. See, they were believers in Jesus. And anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. So notice here, in both cases, both Paul says he laid his hand on Publius' dad and healed him. So it almost sounds like Paul did the healing. Well, he did. He had to act on it. But he was doing it under the authority of Jesus Christ. So, you know, so many times we say, well, if it's God's will, he'll be healed. Well, it's God's will that you lay hands on people. And so you can choose to obey or say, no, I don't want to. And then healing may not happen that way as God has called you to be. So the disciples went out, cast many demons out, and anointed with the whole many who were sick and healed them. See, it was the responsibility of the disciples to go and lay hands, and Jesus would fulfill the healing. And James chapter 5, verse 14, James is saying, is any among you sick? Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. Amen. So that is another way. We have laying on of hands. We have the anointing with oil by the elders or by believers. You can anoint with oil a brother or sister of yours or any other that comes to you and says, I'm sick, I need prayer, I need healing. You can take a little oil. You know, God did not describe any specific oil. And so, you know, you can take the dipstick out of your car and get some oil on your finger and just dab it on them. Nah. I prefer baby oil. I like that. It's not colored. And then, I don't want to go there yet. So, the prayer of faith will save the sick as you lay hands on them and pray for them. In fact, it says there's a second benefit to it. If you go to an elder and you ask for prayer for a healing of your body, and you're humble enough to do that and submit to that authority, the scripture says that if he has committed any sins, he will be forgiven. So you got a double blessing right there. I'm sure you need to repent of that sin, but God will forgive it right then when he prays. Then there is the gifts of healing mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. One of the 9 gifts of the Spirit is called gifts, plural, of healings, plural. And these gifts are ministered by believers. And so God has equipped every believer with gifts. And in fact, 1 Corinthians 12 talks about all of that. And we are going to pretty soon start teaching on the gifts of the Spirit on Wednesday nights. We're going to either accelerate the teaching on the book of Acts or stop it. And we're going to get into a mode of looking into the gifts of the Spirit, because Paul says, brother, I don't want you to be ignorant concerning the gifts of the Spirit. And there's a lot of ignorance and wrong belief about the gifts. So we need to be informed. Pay attention and be ready to participate on that. So gifts of healing are ministered by believers. We see an example of that. Peter, you remember Acts chapter 3, I think Peter and John were going to the temple of the hour of prayer, and there was a lame man by the gate, Beautiful, and he was asking for money, and Peter with John look at him intently. He said, look at us. And the guy was looking, hoping for money. And then the Holy Spirit started working the gift of healing right then and there. And Peter said, silver and gold I don't have, but what I do have, the Spirit of God within me and some promises, in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And they pull him up, have him stand up, and immediately his ankle bones received strength, and he was leaping and dancing and praising God and sticking to the disciples. He wouldn't let them go. They went into the temple. Everybody knew that a gift of healing had been manifested. So we have laying on of hands by believers. We have anointing with oil by believers. We have gift of healings by believers. We have fervent prayer by a righteous believer. In James chapter 5, verse 16 says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. So that's another way of receiving healing. You got sick, you go to another brother, pray for me, I need healing. Well, you know, if the other person is walking in tune with the Lord, then he just believes God to do a miracle because he's requesting his Father. And then there's another way of receiving healing in the New Testament. You can believe and confess scripture on healing on your own. Of course, you know, there are times that, you know, you need others, you know, because we are made to work in community. Yeah, sometimes we need all of these ways of getting healing. We, you know, one didn't work instantly, so we go to the other one. And lay hands on me and anoint me with oil and going fasting and praying and do whatever. Whatever works, right? Wherever your faith is. So, you know, you can receive healing by believing and confessing scripture on healing. And we have been recipients of that kind of healing many times. In Mark 11:24, Jesus said, therefore I say to you, whatever thing you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. How can you believe that you have something that you don't have? That's called faith. You know what God said, you receive that. And see, this is a spiritual doing. It's not a man-made intention. This is a spiritual happening. It's called divine healing because it comes from God, divine. And so it has to be obtained. And, you know, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And anything that we receive from God, faith has to be involved in it. So when we trust him and we know what he said about certain things, we can believe him, claim him, and then they will happen. And, of course, there are other, you know, talks about the lady that was persistent going to the judge and saying, you know, restore my property. And the judge would say, well, you know, I don't want to get up at night, it's late, I'm with my children, but this woman is persistent. So Jesus was talking about being persistent about certain things. How trusting are you that you won't let him go without your blessing? Just like Jacob did. And some scriptures that we can claim. In 1 Peter 2:24, Peter is talking about Jesus. He says, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Interesting that the tense in that verb is past. In other words, just like I started, when Jesus rose from the dead, his full work for mankind was done. And so Jesus is not there, well, you need healing, I'm going to send it. He's already made it available. Amen. We are the ones that need to receive. It's made available. So, and there are many other scriptures. You know, Isaiah 53, a lot of the Psalms, God healing. 3 John 2. I desire that you may be in good health, that you may prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. That's God's will for us, that we be in health and that we're prosperous people. And some of us think, you know, the poorer we are, the more righteous we are. And the more we suffer needlessly, and not called by God, because God doesn't enjoy you being sick. He wants you well so that you can witness. Now, like I mentioned before, and it's late. You're hungry. Some healing happens instantly. Some sermons happen instantly. Others take long. But healing, sometimes it's instant thing. I mean, it just happens. Yeah. Word spoken, faith released, miracle released, and it happened right instantly. Others take some time and process. Ultimately, whichever way it comes and whatever time it takes to manifest, as mentioned before, God is the healer and he heals. And so, you know, Satan, just like Pharaoh's magicians, can imitate stuff that really don't last, or they're not from the right source. And so we trust in the Lord to do the healing for us. Now, I know I have not heard of or seen anyone in this church with the gifts of healing manifesting. I know some of you have been promised that, you know, at some point you will manifest gifts of healings. But I have not seen that happening here. But if you need healing, we're here. We have faith to believe that God wants you healed. And we are willing to join our faith with yours. And so if you want to be healed of whatever ailment you got, we'll gladly lay hands on you, anoint you with oil, and it's going to be good oil. It's not going to be motor oil. We lay hands on you. We will pray the prayer of faith, and we believe for your healing, whether it happens instantly or whether it's a process. So, Father, I thank you for the ways that you have ordained that healing can come to us. But, Father, ultimately, it all comes from you because you are a healing God. You are the healing, and you provide healing for your children. Mm-hmm. And so, Father, we thank you that we have been given the privilege of believing for healing for those of us that are sick. And, Father, I pray that everyone would understand, Father, not just for today, but whenever from this day forward, Father, that we can trust you for our healing. And Father, we know that you want divine health to be operating in our bodies constantly. So Father, we thank you for your promises. We thank you that though we get sick, Father, you have made ways for us to get well and continue being witnesses for you. So, Father, I bless your people, and I thank you for them. In Jesus' name, amen. So if anyone needs prayer, wife and I are going to be here. So you're dismissed, and there was a meeting for somebody out there, so don't forget that either. Amen. What are we praying for?
Healing.
Healing, healing. Lord, she has come to us. Lord, you have ordained.